Stand by for action.
Gamer's Haven Special Edition.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. A huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
Who here is a licensee that's not up here?
So Aaron...
Okay, so when I do the, when the licensees talk to you, make sure I don't skip you over, okay? But it'll get a little crowded up here if I'll come up right now.
But if you're a licensee, at least be in the front row for crying out loud. Come on.
Yeah, come on up to the front.
Get up here.
Yeah, great idea. Thanks.
Hey, get up here. Come on.
Yeah, if you're a licensee, come on up. We want you to talk about your stuff, too. Fantastic.
Especially our award-winning licensees.
Okay, so thank you for coming. Great turnout. I think I know half of you. Which is a good thing. I'm Shane, head of Pinnacle, and Joel Kinsel is the director of operations for Pinnacle. Clint Black is the Savage Worlds Core Rules brand manager. Matthew Cutter is the Deadlands brand manager, and we are the actual Pinnacle guys, and then I'll let everybody else introduce themselves here in just a minute. So what we usually like to do is we'll give you a quick overview of some of the stuff we've just brought out here, some of the stuff that's coming. We'll let the licensees do the same, and then it'll just be questions and answers so we can get whatever is on your mind, okay? So, very briefly, the two new books for us, obviously, at the show are Path of Cain and Savage Worlds Deluxe. Actually, Nikki, could you leave one of those open? I hate people not feeling like they can come in. Great. So, who here picked up Savage Worlds Deluxe at the show? Awesome! You just paid for my hotel bill. Because I was pretty worried there for a minute. And Path of Cain. Who picked up Path of Cain? Okay, that's a problem. Thank you. Path of Cain was 18 writers in the making, so if you get a chance to look at it, I would love for you to do so. It really is a great book. If you bought Cain and looked at it, all it does is expand on all the stuff that we put into the original. So all the locations you can go to, there's more stuff to do with them now because I felt like it was a little light once you landed. Right, so we wanted to fill that out and have more options for you to explore. So without further ado on that front, I'll tell you what I'm working on. I'm working on the 50 Fathoms Explorers Edition version. It does roll the companion into the main book, and I think it is the most beautiful book we've ever done, thanks to Cheyenne Wright. He did every single piece of art in the book. He's a two-time Hugo Award-winning colorist these days, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. I'm going to put a preview up on the website here in the next month or two, so you can take a look. Crazy proud of it. It'll probably be like $24.99, a little more expensive than our typical books, because it's going to be like 200 and some pages, but worth every penny. And most of you know I'm not much of a sales guy, so I truly believe that. The horror companion is almost done. That's on my plate as well. That one I thought needed some rewriting from the toolkit, some fairly heavy rewriting. That's one of the toolkits that was written many years ago when Savage Worlds came out. So that's being done and is underway. And we have Weird War I is being written at this point. So those of you into Weird Wars, that's coming. Hell on Earth is in layout. We hope to have that finished up in the next month or two, and then it'll be off to the printers. So, should be cool. Clint, take it away.
I'm fixing everything he's working on.
That's true.
As a Savage Worlds Core Rules brand. And, yes, I get to talk about the award.
Sure.
Last night, Silver Annie. Best summer. the first person we want to thank is Frank Chadwick.
And the last.
And the last. But the one person we didn't thank last night is Shane, who thought of Frank while in the shower.
That was not my fault this time.
You know, out of context, that sounds really strange.
In context, it sounds strange.
Okay, so now I have to tell the real story. So my gaming closet is next to, there's near my shower, and I was looking at my huge stack of Space 1899 stuff just before I got in the shower, and I thought, I think I'll run Space 1889 for some friends of mine tonight. And then I thought, well, you know, that system's kind of old. You know, it was great for its time, but it's not really what I want to do today. So I'll just do it with Savage Worlds. Well, I just call Frank and get a license for Savage Worlds. So I got out of the shower, I called Frank, and 30 minutes later I sent him a contract. So
I love his business.
Fantastic.
Another shout out for Clint, who I hate with a fire of a thousand suns. But seriously, he and Jody have been torchbearing for Savage Worlds amazingly, and they deserve a lot of credit, both of them, for teaming up and bringing Savage Saturday Nights and Savage Game Events to so many conventions, especially down in the South. I've been proud to be a part of a number of those events. He's really, they've stepped up and they've really torchbearing for this, for what we do, what we love. So all props on that too, running great games and setting up and organizing all that you've done. So,
and handling it. You know, we since we're doing the Clint kudos right now, I frequently get told by licensees who come in or new players who come in how great our forums are in the community, right? So that is, you know, equal parts Clint overseeing everything and answering questions so well, and of course, you know, as I say every year, the fact that, you know, you guys and gals are the ones on the forums talking to people and being so fantastic, and when people come in and they come play our games at the shows, they say the same things. Man, what a great group of people that was. And it's really true. It's not just hyperbole. I think if you've known me long enough, you know how much I truly believe it and how blessed we are with the crowd base that we have. So thank you so much.
That one's for you guys. There is, the first thing I tell anybody, savages are the nicest people you'll ever meet. And you guys are. You make
my
job easy.
And then they go to some island somewhere and they get eaten and they're like, Clint.
Write that one down. New one sheet. No. Really, I mean, you guys make my job easy. Handling the forums, and he makes my job hard. But I love all of it. That's right.
Okay, so what's coming out?
You told it all.
Okay, let's get him out.
You totally undercut.
We just got to reserve room for, you know, Sean.
You want me to go get an extra block of time?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Deadlands. Our most recent release is the 1880 Smith & Robards catalog. Did everybody buy this?
It's $20. Come on.
I have to ask a question because I've been working booths and doing panels. What number is your booth?
605.
605. Thank you. So I can actually just go there.
If you look at the banners, we're directly between 600 and 700.
Well, if I look
right
up,
above us.
I get smacked by people.
I gotta find some joy somewhere. So that's how I tell people to find our booth.
Cruel bastard.
So the new book includes all of the gizmos from the old Smith & Robards catalog, thanks to over there, as well as the devices from the classic Collegium book, as well as a chapter on steam augmentations, which was perfected by Clint, and some other metaplot information and good stuff in there. The next things that we've got coming up are the third trail guide in PDF, which will cover, it's called Great Weird North. Covers Alaska, British Columbia, and has a mini plot point campaign like the other two trail guides. Once that's out in PDF, the first three trail guides will be compiled into a book about this size. We have I've seen a cover illustration for that featuring Zitlan, which is...
The cover looks really good.
Yeah, it's pretty
good. Someday you'll get to see it. See, right here, there's... Anyway...
And after that, we're looking for the Last Suns. We've got all the pieces for the Last Suns, and they're being put together in layout. Not as we speak, but soon after we speak. And then as for what we have in the works, stuff that's still manuscripts but coming down the pike a little bit later on, I'm working on an adventure called Return to Manitou Bluff, which changed my roommate. So after he got out of the shower, he gave me clearance to make it a mega adventure. So it's going to be a big book.
It's all about showers.
Yeah. I'm hydropower too.
How often do you shower?
You know, honestly, I typically shower about 3 times a day.
You're showering right
now. Well, so I get up and I shower. I usually, if I'm home, I run. And after I run, I shower. And I shower before I go to bed.
How did Shane's shower habits become the topic?
Because obviously that's where the good ideas come from. Sorry, Matt.
From John Goff, we have his Blood Drive trilogy of adventures, which covers a cattle drive, epic cattle drive, from Texas to Denver through the disputed territories to Wyoming, and finally ending up with a epic range war. So we've got, let's see, the first one is done and ready for layout. The second one I received from John. And the third one's a little farther out. He's taking a break to work on something else, which is next on my list, a new book of Deadlands monsters. So it's, we're looking at something like Foes of Cain, where many of them will have adventures that go along with them. The best one that John mentioned to me was the family of inbred cannibals called the Squat Pump Gang. So there will be an adventure about the Squat Pump Gang. I guarantee that.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, is it mostly going to be newer monsters or like monsters from...
All new.
This is all new.
All new.
Oh, wow.
Yep. It'd be another digest-sized book like this. So John's working on that. He keeps sending me various ideas that he's got going on. He's been collecting them in a file for a while, so now he's ready to write it all down. We've got a book called Ghost Towns in the works, which is probably going to be a PDF release. It's on the smaller side. Not sure. But that basically covers a whole bunch of strange locales, not really in as much detail as you get in an adventure, but enough so that you can drop it into your campaign anywhere, put your own NPCs in it, that sort of thing. We've got a new book of Deadlands Relics in the works, which will... That'll be a combination. We'll be bringing back some of the classic relics that haven't seen the light in a while, but that'll be mostly new stuff. We've got some freelancers working on that. And after that, I'll be getting to the Stone in a Hard Place plot point, which is the next plot point after The Last Sons. Covers the Southwest, Death's Territory, and deals with the hero's attempt to beat Stone. And the other stone.
I'm pretty excited about that one too, because it's the most spaghetti Western that I think we've done in a while. That was Matt's pitch.
I've been compiling, you know, from Wikipedia lists and internet lists, I've been compiling names of spaghetti Western movies. My goal is that most of the headers for sections of the book are all titles of movies from somewhere or other. So
I don't know if you know, but one of the Hell on Earth adventures, Urban Renewal, I think every single one of the headers in there was a horror movie by Lucian Solbanes.
Okay. I wish I had more, but...
So, one of the things that I am most excited about for Deadlands... Oh, sorry, Joel. Go ahead. We'll come back.
There's also the Swex-size version, the Explorer's Edition, of the two Deadlands core books. Those will be coming out not too terribly long from now, because we've got the actual live proof of the one for, you know, proof that it's actually in progress.
I just wanted to mention too that it's all the exact same text that's in the full size hardbacks that we just did. There's no
changes
in there that are going to.
It's a matter of which format you want, because we want you to be happy.
We're probably the worst businessmen in the world, right? You don't need to buy this. We're going to print 20,000 of them, but you don't need to buy it. Okay, so one of the things I'm most excited about, I don't know if you've read these yet, but the Deadlands comics by Visionary are just fantastic. So Chuck and Charlie have the first two here, and I'll let him talk about it in a second. There's two more coming, and then we are discussing all kinds of great stuff going forward. I think they're fantastic, and the work you're doing is amazing.
Thank you.
Go, Chuck.
How many of you have stopped by and gotten the comics yet? If not, only $3 a piece. We do have the first two.
Basically, it's been great working with Pinnacle, and Shane gave us a chance to play in the Deadlands world. And after, I have to admit, I haven't been a gamer in a while, but I've known of the game, but when I read the backstory, I definitely want to get more into it, because it is a fantastic setting. But we've been having real fun with it. Matt and Shane and Clint have all been helping out. So it's very faithful to the game. Actually, even the first book, The Devil Takes Gun, is a mad scientist story with Copernicus Blackburn, who is commissioned to build a gun that can kill the devil, and tries to make a gun that can shoot ghost rock bullets. And you read the origin of the gun, and the stats to play it as a relic are in the back of the book. And it will be included in the new relics book that will be coming out. So we're doing some official stuff. And then book two is by Jimmy Palmiotti, Justin Gray, and Lee Motor, big comic names. Jimmy and Justin have just finished up writing Jonah Hex for DC, so we figured they might know a thing or two about weird westerns. So they did a great story about Clementine, and there's quite a revelation about her background that ties her to one of the major figures in Deadlands. So that's definitely a cool story to check out. And those are the two that we have. And then the third one that is coming out in a couple weeks is Death Was Silent, which is a lone gunslinger tale by Ron Mars and Bart Sears.
And it rocks.
And it rocks. It is a very fun story. And if you have half as much fun reading it as those guys had creating it, because they weren't familiar with the Deadlands game setting either, so we were talking about all the cool monsters they can include and the cool dynamics, and they just kept chuckling, oh, we can do this, we can do that. So it's very fun. Like I said, it'll be out in a couple weeks. And then the fourth book that we have coming out September, October, is by Jeff Marriott and Brooke Turner. We did have a little creative change on there, unfortunately, because of schedules. But it's a very cool, darker, supernatural horror book called The Black Lake. So what we wanted to do is hit all the main aspects of Deadlands, so you guys know we're not just doing a Western and calling it Deadlands, or just doing a horror. You know, we've got the steampunk, we've got the Western, we've got the horror, the Native American mysticism, the whole bit. So we are having fun, and so we keep talking about doing more stuff. So,
and you should come play tonight.
I would like to do that.
Do it.
I would like to do that.
So here's the favor I have to ask of you. So Chuck, we have kind of a habit of wearing our heart on our sleeve around here. So how many people in here read comics regularly? Okay. So if you subscribe to Spider-Man, say, you know when the new Spider-Man comic's coming out, you go to the store, you have a subscription, you know to get it, right? The Deadlands comics come out in a store, you know, they get a lot of one-shots and properties that the comic store owner hasn't heard of so much. So, they put it on a shelf amid a bunch of other things, and even if it's a Deadlands fan, he may miss it. If you are a Deadlands fan but you don't read a whole lot of comics, you may not, or don't check our website every Tuesday, you may not know it exists and come get it at that time, right? So what I would ask of everybody here, if you could do us this favor of go to your store when you get home and ask about the next one that's coming out, if you haven't already got the ones here, which would also be great. But ask about them and then ask to pre-order the next one. You know, they're $3. You can handle it. You made it to Gen Con. You can handle $3. Because what we need is, we need that demand to keep them coming. We're going to sell them digitally as well. And you're here, so I'm gonna. I don't ask. I am a lousy salesperson, as I've said. We never ask this kind of stuff, but it's really important to me to make more comic books come out. And I'll tell you why in a second. But if you can go to the comic shop and order them and buy them digitally. It's a very small price point, right? So it's not going to break you. But we need to build that fan base and start getting people to talk about them. And here's why: the comics in and of themselves are fantastic. I love them. I think they really help express the stories of our universe in a way that most people can't get by looking at a game book, right? They don't get who Stone is or what Raven did or why Hellstrom is the main character in the whole story by looking at a rule book. That's really, really important for us for new fans. It's incredibly important when we go to Hollywood or computer games or any of those places where they need something more digestible to look at. And especially, Hollywood executives can't actually even read pretty pictures. And luckily for us, what Chuck has done is just stellar. The art's stellar, the stories are stellar, the writing's fantastic. It's just really, really good.
Come on
good.
In, folks, please. We got plenty of seats.
It's Cap. That's Dave Ross, everybody, in case you didn't know Dave. Ranger Dave from Lost Colony. So I am asking you to please help us support the comics. Keep Chuck coming back. Make it worthwhile for him to keep coming back, because it's really important to us, and I really want this to happen. Okay. One other thing. I think Billy the Kid is a doofus.
I've always thought he's just kind of a moron who lucked into some fame. And if you look at his picture, I mean, oh my God. Although that picture just sold for like $1 million or something. Did you see that, the original?
Yeah.
So Chuck, you know, when we were talking in the early phases, Chuck said, well, I want to make Billy the Kid kind of the main character of the of this other series that he's wanting to do. I was like, oh, God. And he said, well, he's going to be kind of the Spider-Man of the Deadlands universe. He'd be kind of a quippy, you know, fast kind of guy. I'm like, well, I've been reading Spider-Man since I was six. That's a little better. And then he sent me the script for one of them, and it won me over just like that. And I'm kind of an opinionated jerk sometimes, so that tells you how well the writing is. So kudos, Chuck. You and your team, just fantastic. Blown us out of the water, and I really appreciate it. Okay. One more quick Pinnacle thing. I'm going to turn it over to the licensees. So Mike and Steve just got here. They've been running games all week, of course. They are in charge of Savage Saturday Night. Want to give it a quick plug?
Sure. Tonight, 8 o'clock, Omni Basement. There's a Jennings Ballroom and then a little overflow area. We've got 23 tables. It's all ticketed games, but if you stop and see Jody Black...
I'm not her. But I married her.
You'll be able to see if we can find somewhere to stick some people at Mass Motor Flows for some generics.
Yeah,
and
we can't guarantee it, but we'll try. Also, if you're a GM and you'd like to be an alternate and run tonight, hey, just bring your game.
We'll also see Joe.
Yeah.
And to add into that, if you're a GM and you want to do it and you don't have a game, but you're a quick learner, we have some copies of The Wild Hunt at the table that you can pick up, and it's ready to run with pre-gens and everything you need.
That's our free RPG Day adventure, if you need it.
We do.
By John Goff.
We do need you to support this and bring your tickets and support that process. We've got to do it right, because really cool things are happening, and the better we are about being right about this stuff. As well, if you're a GM, please make sure when you're running games at a show like this that you show up and run your games, because we are, as a community, coming along and doing some huge, huge, wonderful, fun things, and we can do more the more we are good about showing up and being the top-notch people. So I just want to make sure you guys keep that in mind.
Unfortunately, that is going well, so keep doing it.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to turn it over to the licensees. And let you plug your game a little bit. There's a lot of us, and we want to have lots of time for questions. So if you can keep it to like a couple of minutes, that'd be great. Okay? So we'll start with you, Sean.
Wasn't it? Yeah. All right, which is going to be really hard because I actually have three things I got to talk about.
But go!
Thank you. No, it's fine. Right. Shut up. First off, I'm wearing the DriveThru RPG shirt. I want you guys to know DriveThru RPG loves Savage. And obviously, the drive-through customer base of Savage, I want to let you guys know that currently, and I can say this because it's fairly semi-public kind of sort of knowledge, Savage Worlds is the number 3 game system on Savage Worlds.
After
Pathfinder and all the D&D combos.
Yeah. Yes.
So yeah, all the different variations of D&D gang up, but if they don't, if they're separated, well, then Savage World's kind of... So,
in that really case, we're number 2.
Yeah, so anyway, that's going really, really well, and you guys got to keep the faith and keep it coming. Second of all, I'm with 2 different studios to talk about now. So we'll talk about Reality Blurs. Actually, I'm going to let him talk about the rest of Reality Blurs, but I'll talk about this little thing called Shintar. Thank you for your patience. It's done. It's completed. It's ready. From my end.
The manuscript.
The manuscript is done. Editing and development is underway, and because of all the really other cool things that Reality Blurs is coming out with, and the Agents of Oblivion, the Iron Dynasty, the new Runepunk stuff, there's all this amazing stuff, Sean and I both agreed that 2012 will be the year of Shintar. And it will be a big year for Shintar. 2 core books coming, because I did so much crazy stuff to expand heroic and legendary level play, it had to get its own book. So the Shintar Legends Arise, which will be novice up through veteran, but it'll be player and GM. It'll be the total combo of what you need. And then the second book will be Shintar Legends Unleashed, and that will be heroic and legendary level play, because again, there's that much extra stuff, like high magic and oh my god, the monsters. If you guys know what a Thracian is, I made the worst creature ever. The high-end Thracian, my players hate me. They really, really hate me. So there's really some stuff there. We're going to take a guidebook approach for the rulebook stuff. We're using like the same thing like the Iron Dynasty approach, so factions and regions and things like that. So those will be coming out as smaller PDF-type products. And some fun with that. And if you are an aspiring writer and fan of the world and you want to take a crack, I'm open to some other people getting to play in my world a little bit. So that'll be kind of fun. The other thing I want to talk about briefly is the new studio that I finally got convinced to start up called Silvermeat Studios. And if most of you know Corinne Siebold, my lady love, she is actually the president and chief cat herder. and we are incorporating Savage Worlds heavily into our projects for that. Tonight, Corinne will be running her first ever Gen Con game, and she only just started GMing about 6 months ago. And she's accounted a very good GM. She'll be running something called Shadow Deep, which is modern fantasy horror adventure. So if you're wanting to play that, I think you'll have a really great time. And that's one of the Omniverse settings. We have a number of other settings also being developed that will be Savage Worlds oriented, as well as Savage Worlds will just be a core system for that project. Not going to get too deep into it, but just imagine, if you will, a giant cosmological playground where the greatest names in gaming are coming on board to do stuff. I have just had conversations today with Ken Height, Mike Stackpole, Bill Slavicek, who was running D&D for a little while, so expressed interest, Tacy Hickman, artists like Larry Elmore and Ruth Thompson want to get involved. And I just got a contract in from Ed Greenwood. So there's that. So the Omniverse thing is going to be this thing I've been talking about for a long time, about this giant, everybody gets to share a world and actually feel like they're part of something. It's going to be very exciting. I appreciate y'all's support, because we're definitely oriented on the Savage community and how Savages do things. One last thing is, just on behalf of all of us, this industry thrives on a direct relationship between the consumer and the creator and the content between. That's how we love things to be. That's how we live. So you guys matter more to us than the typical customer matters to any other business. And then, as he said, hearts on the sleeve, we're sincere when I say that I am honored to do good stuff with this fine group of people. And what we do is worthy, and it's worthy because you enjoy it. So thank you.
Hey, Eric, hang on just a second. Let's get Jonathan. We're going to let you plug your stuff real quick, because I know you've got to be somewhere at 4.
I'll stand up, too, because I'm with
that. Great.
I'm Jonathan Thompson. I run Battlefield Press, where you did these. This is Stephen Miller. He co-wrote
Gaslight and Sherwood.
Gaslight's probably my favorite, so, and I hope it seems to be everybody else's, too. Right now, Steve and I are working on the Darwin's Guide, which is the creature book for the Gaslight universe. I'm also started a Kickstarter on the Great Wars, which expands our timeline from 1901 to 1943. I love Savage Worlds, and only recently into it, but become quickly one of my favorite games.
And just so everyone knows, after this year, we are going to be giving away this copy that's in my hand right now.
But you have to answer our trivia question.
You have to answer a trivia question. And it's about the Victorian age. Movies, TVs, books, they're all fair game. So find us right after this, and we will give this away to someone.
Cool. All right. Eric.
I'm Eric Avedisian. I'm with Reality Blurs. Let me tell you about some of the things we're coming out with. We're coming out with Agents of Oblivion is next on the docket. That's our modern horror espionage game. It's going to have a lot of spy tech in it. It's going to have a lot of edges and hindrances you need to play an agent and to fight the evil organization Pandora. That is going to come out around October. October-ish.
Give him a hard fact. Sean's not here.
Sean Preston's not here. He said, all right, October-ish. So. That's going to drop October-ish.
I just said next year, so you know.
Next year. At the end of the year, it's going to...
Did I hear the third expansion?
It's possible toward the end of the year for Agents of Oblivion. And next year, Ravaged Earth, the reboot for that. The original Ravaged Earth came out in 2008. And what we did, we redesigned it from the ground up. to include more of the Martian wars. It's going to have backgrounds of the Martian races, a section of Martian tech, new edges and hindrances, and a 12-part plot point adventure called Martian Sun. So that's going to drop sometime next year, as vague as possible. With that, we're also going to do, I'm also writing the guidebooks and the adventures, like we've been doing with Iron Dynasty, each individual guidebook, and Keshi Tales. With Ravaged Earth, they're going to have guidebooks describing cities of the world of 1936, along with an adventure linked to that city. So we're doing a series of that. And we're going to produce more old school fantasy adventures. Each of these adventures is going to be updated for Savage Worlds Deluxe, which we're updating every one of them. So that'll be good. So.
Oh, by the way, nice job on that book.
Thank you.
Yes.
Stacey?
You covered most everything. Art of War is in production. It's waiting for layouts.
That's the Iron Dynasty.
That's the Iron Dynasty Showdown game. The manuscript's been in for a while. It's in layout.
If you haven't checked out Iron Dynasty, it is steampunk samurai.
Steampunk samurai setting.
Awesome, cool book.
And we've got a pretty hefty. I can't remember what the page count was on the manuscript.
Big.
But it's there's over 100 troop types for a Showdown game. Let me put it that way. All of the factions are there, represented. All nine factions are represented. And it's really good. The others are kind of on the back burner right now because we have so much in the queue. the Runepunk Showdown is close to half done, but it's kind of on the back burner at the moment because we have so much in mind.
And Sean regrets that he couldn't be here. Extends his warmest regards. He's had some family things going on. He's being the good son, helping the family out. But he does want you to know how much he honors everyone's support.
Yes, he does. He hates not being here. He called me 2 weeks ago to see if I was going to be here. And to let him know.
What's next for Realms of Cthulhu?
That's a real good question. Did he tell you anything?
We're releasing adventures.
The Mythos Tales are coming out. Yeah, I knew that. Mythos Tales.
A really good one by John Goff, by the way.
Just came out.
Which we all played last year at Gen Con, right?
That's right, but in still waters. We did. Sorry. We played and failed.
Just like it should be. That's cool.
Why are you closing your book, John? Because you failed.
I'm not sure the reason was blocked.
Sorry.
We've been playing for 24 months.
Do you know where Echo is at all?
Oh, Echo's that's cranking.
I mean, I know he's in the middle of writing. He's still working on the manuscript for Echo of Dead Leaves, which is the Block 1 campaign.
It's
going
to
be
out.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Awesome. I'm going to shotgun us here. Hal?
Hey, I'm Hal from Atomic Open Mic Press. The day after Ragnarok, written by Kenneth Heitz. We kind of had a little bit of a hiatus in product, I guess you could say, due to both me and Ken being very, very busy with other stuff, unfortunately, but I think we're going to try to get back on track this fall. We've already put out Tehran, Nest of Spies, and we're actually going to finally try to get to the Memphis book, which I ordered. Memphis product, I think, which everybody gets.
From Memphis.
The current plan, we originally had done a bunch of serpent scales, and we're going to try to do all these like little things moving forward, and basically we just have time, and we wish we did, but we're going to try to focus on bigger things and get them done in a little bit more efficient manner. After that would be the Cape Town source book, which would be a little bit more diesel pump oriented than some of the others. And those will probably collect, we've decided to collect those together probably into a print product, and we're waffling over whether to do the Russia book as a separate thing or as a plot point campaign that we would fold into that, but we'll probably do that, that will probably end up all in one thing is my thinking at this point, in print sometime next year. So then after that, Ken already has the ground laid for 500 years after Ragnarok, which is the follow-on setting. In which the wolf Garm is eating the moon from the inside with hilarious consequences. And if I could just do a quick plug for my other company, Green Run Publishing, we recently just did a Savage Worlds companion for our Freeport City setting. We have it available here at the show. We've done a very short print run of it. We're doing a POD, but it's pretty high quality. And we invite you to come by the booth and check it out.
And for those who don't know, Hal is one of the first five members of Pinnacle. You were somewhere.
You told me about Deadlands in a bar in Blacksburg, Virginia, and tried to convince me to
not write in it. A shower.
No. The funniest part was you tried to convince me to write it. which is the most ridiculous thing ever in retrospect.
Oh, I don't know.
No, you were like, you should write this, a good idea. You could do something with it.
So Hal was with us at many years at Pinnacle, and yes. He's one of our oldest and dearest friends, and I'm thrilled that he's doing stuff for Savage Worlds now.
It's a no-brainer, man.
All right, I got some mojo.
Okay. I'm Aaron Acevedo, art director for Savage Mojo and line developer for Savage Suzerain. New stuff we have here is Callan Falls, which is our Band of Brothers fantasy wartime setting, and Shanghai Vampocalypse, which won the Emmy last night. Woo!
My name is Jennifer Brozek. I am the lead writer on this. I was given like a page, then they said go. So I did. It is different than most of our Savage Mojo things because it happens in 12 hours. This is a demigod adventure, and I try to kill you. I mean, there are end games within the 12 points, so choose wisely. And this will be coming out a hardback soon.
Yeah.
I am just the writer. I don't actually know.
The files are done. It's going to appear next week.
And next, hopefully by the end of the year, is my next book where they basically said, hey, can you write 1999 James Bond type spies versus the supernatural with the humans losing? And I said yes. It is, in fact, the first of a three-book series. So the humans are losing. It is not that organized. The gadgets are awesome, and what else? It is a much more traditional Savage Mojo. You have the 12 plot points and then the 18 Savage Tales set in three sets of six. So if you have questions, come by the Savage Mojo booth.
1741.
I'm not there because I am also an author and an editor. So I'm in Authors Avenue on aisle 1400. If I'm not there, have my husband or my personal assistant call me, and I'll come back and I will answer questions that I can, but I wrote this like 2 years ago. So I will try to think very quickly about how I did this. But this one really will kill you a lot. they gave me no, they basically said, do as many evil things as you can do. So,
thank you. Okay, who's left? Who did I miss? Sorry.
No problem. I'm John Dunn, Mali Arbia. We are a PDF exclusive through DriveThru. We were just given a Savage Worlds license recently. Our current setting that we produce is Hope Preparatory School. It's a high school supers setting, and we'll be bringing that out to Savage Worlds hopefully next month in PDF through DriveThru. We have the freshman handbook as the core introductory product that tells you all about the school, and then a series of adventures that are again available as PDFs.
Very cool. Okay, did I forget anything?
Well, here, real quick, I wanted to do a shout out. The guys at Savage Mojo were the first team to put Shintar into play under Talisman Studios, so thank you guys for getting that ball rolling. It was awesome that time around, and
thanks.
You guys did a great job, and I'm very proud of what you did with Vampocalypse, because
I wish I could say that I named it, because that was the coolest.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so now we're going to do questions, and then we'll get out of here. So, what questions do you have? Always starts this way. Then there's like a fifth.
Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
I have a question. After the horror companion, what's the next
thing
scheduled?
The sci-fi companion.
And after that, how are we going to torture Clint?
Oh, there's endless possibilities. I just pretty much have to send him something at this point. Yeah.
When you were doing Savage Worlds Deluxe, what was your main way of guiding to see what you wanted to change from Savage World Explorer edition?
Great question.
Like perform or
There are a couple of levels to that, actually. So, like, tweaks to things like Bolt or whatever, right, are things that came directly from the forums that we've seen, you know, Clint has seen specifically 1,000 times, and we didn't want to change it much, right, because the game's been working awfully well.
but here and there we can make little clarifications, or like with Bolt, we made an actual change, right? So specifics of rules, very careful process to change only when there was no way to just clarify or maybe make it more, maybe explain it a little better, like the shake and win results thing.
Corinne's
right,
still mad at you about Bolt, by the way.
Too bad. With what I added to it, there were two levels to that. The making of Savage Worlds PDF that we did eons ago and then did a reissue not too long ago has always been one of our more popular articles. People, you know, talk about it and have read it. And, you know, when I did it originally, it was just kind of a, I don't know, almost a cathartic thing just to remember the whole process I went through, because it was kind of a big deal to me at the time. And people latched onto it, read it, and seemed to kind of hit a nerve with a lot of people that, you know, hey, I don't have a lot of time in my evenings anymore either, but I really like this kind of game, and you know, it provided that access. The third level is things like dramatic interludes and or dramatic tasks and interludes. I have been searching for a while in my games, and I've been able to do it on a specific basis, but not on a more general basis, ways to find, like in Lord of the Rings, when they make the trek across the mountains, right? It's a big epic part of the movie, you remember it well. But in a game, it doesn't translate very well, right? Okay, well, you walk across Mordor for 3 weeks. Okay, and now we fight something. I wanted to find cool ways to get those things into your game and have some game mechanics with them, something you would do. And at the same time, you know, a lot of my players would come up with these really cool, deep backstories, one of which is Kyla Kidd, for example, which is the fiction that we released for 50 Fathoms, which is really good. And her whole story was that she was the unknown daughter of Captain Kidd looking for his treasure and all this stuff. But those backstories are really tough to come out in regular play sometimes, because you as the GM have, okay, it's encounter one, and they go into encounter two, and that kind of thing. So I wanted to provide outlets for people to have you know, backstories and also add to the game. So in interludes, not only do you tell backstory stuff, you actually create little memorable scenes that may have happened along the trip. It's really interesting. I was actually talking to Robin Laws and Kenneth Hyde about this. It's something we're all kind of after right now, is bringing some more of that depth into your RPG experience. So it's not just combat. Back there?
I know you do a pulp sci-fi. Is there anything more in a hard sci-fi vein coming down the pike?
I get asked this a lot, actually. So hard sci-fi is a genre we had one amazingly great setting for it, and that didn't work out, so we had to shelve it. We just have not had another idea that works for me come across the plate yet. So, I mean, some were really good, but maybe just not a pinnacle kind of thing. So what I'm looking for in a hard sci-fi, if I was going to create or commission one or find one, it would be, you know, I want it to be as realistic as possible, you know, that maybe the FTL stuff is quasi-science, right? But at least it's somewhat grounded in science. But there still needs to be a hook. It doesn't have to be supernatural horror, but there needs to be some kind of horror. I mean, I would argue that Outland is kind of horrific, right? Even though it's a remake of High Noon, it's, you know, in space, it's still kind of horrific. You have the isolation, you know, the airlock could blow and the vacuum comes and all that kind of stuff. Aliens would work for me. You know, that would be a great universe to play in, because that feels pretty aliens. Realistic. Zombies aren't hard sci-fi, right? They don't work. You can have a zombie substitute. So nothing is currently in the works. But I would love for there to be.
May I?
Sure.
We licensed the Terran Trade Authority from Stuart Cowley, and we're putting it out as a Savage Worlds book.
There you go. So one of the great things about the licensees is, you know, we have to focus pretty hard on Deadlands, Weird Wars, and, you know, kind of the what our favorite is of a short era of a couple of years, right? So we can't do quite as many settings as we'd like to. So it's been great to see stuff like that. That sounds really cool to me, by the way. What was the other one that yours actually I thought was really cool? We just approved that a couple months ago, right? That looked really cool and different, but it's not something we could ever get to. So it's fantastic. Lee Skopernik's War of the Dead. Is that right?
Lee Skopernik's War of the Dead.
Say it again.
War of the Dead?
Yeah, War of the Dead. You know, it's our World War Z 28 Days Later kind of thing that you would think we would have done, but we didn't. It's cool.
And he did a great job on it.
He did, really. Shintar, you know, high fantasy isn't a Shane thing. I'm not a high fantasy kind of guy. But I love that it's part of our universe, and, you know, Sean is such a proponent of it. It's fantastic. There's no better proponent for anything than Sean Patrick.
I love this chocolate bar!
I can honestly tell you, at the seminar, he's proponenting stuff that doesn't even exist yet. What else? Yeah?
I have a question for the 50 Fathoms book that's coming out. You're saying you're really excited about it. And I've seen some of the artwork that I think you put up on Facebook and on the website as
right.
well. And it looks awesome. What are we going to see in the book that you think will get us really excited about it?
Well, I would love to say it's all new material, but it's not, of course. It is exactly the material from the original book, plus the companion, plus the errata fixed. So if you are looking for something all new, again, let me talk you out of buying the book. If you're looking for a great compilation of those things in a beautiful full-color package for $25, that's your book, right? My hope is that 50 Fathoms actually grows into one of our B-lines that we can actually put some more material out for. We'll see how the fiction continues to do. I get really slow reporting on that from the way, you know, the iBook store and Kindle and Nook and that kind of thing. So we'll see. But it's definitely one of my favorite settings. If you haven't seen it, it's essentially Pirates of the Caribbean meets Pirates of Dark Water. I mean, it's nothing like those. It's
in case you're any Disney people
here. Ethan.
You mentioned Hell on Earth is in layout right now. Is there plans to bring back Lost Colony?
So the plan is, and you know how great we are at executing on our plans very quickly. We do execute, it just takes one. The Hell on Earth core book will come out, and then there's a Hell on Earth plot point. Mm-hmm. And then there will be a Lost Colony core book and a Lost Colony plot point book.
Cool.
And Luke's about to just joygasm over there. Just,
yeah. Go, Luke.
My brother threatened me with bodily injury.
Oh, great. Luke McCandle, by the way, is the guy who wrote...
Through the cathode ray tube
for us, if you've ever read that Savage Tale. It's one of our better ones, I think. Brilliant. Yeah?
This is a really strange one. On the back of Rippers, there was a 3. On the back of the original 50 Fathoms, there was a 2. What was 1?
Evernight.
Okay. That's been what I'm trying to... Why
is there 3? Yeah, the original plan was to number everything, and then 1 came out before the others, and then...
Thank you,
freaking life.
I
you
know, screwed that plans. Up. That actually was necessary.
That's true.
That's true, right?
Nathaniel.
On the forum a couple months ago, or well, how long ago, there was a thread about creating your own relics and there may or may not be in a future product. Is that still...
That's done, I think. The relic book for deadlines?
Included in the relic book?
It's in the relic book?
What?
Making all the submissions that we had from the fans, those are going to...
And I posted a list of the names of the authors who were accepted to go in.
Yeah, the submissions were made on the forums a long time ago, not the request for them. People sent in their submissions. So the relic book you're going to get is actually, you're going to find a lot of relics from you guys. I mean, the people that submitted stuff, and Matt posted, I think about 3 weeks ago, like you said, the names of everybody that was, you know, that were accepted, that their relics were accepted on that.
Nathaniel, did you submit one?
Oh yeah, I haven't had a computer in a while.
So. Oh okay. Do you have access to email now?
Yes.
Yeah, when you get back, just get Matt's email and email, and he'll tell you if it's in the book or not. Okay. If I'd known you submitted one, it'd have been in no matter what. Nathaniel and I are old buddies. Not shower buddies, but we're buddies.
I'm getting really uncomfortable. I'm wearing a kilt, and this is freaking me out, man.
I'm glad I brought soap on a roll.
Okay, what else? Got about 8 minutes left.
I was going to say, someone mentioned Evernight, and I just have to ask, is there any plans whatsoever of re-releasing that?
So that's another one that, you know, I absolutely want to do it. I have 2 manuscripts for Evernight. One was written by Piotr Korus in Poland and translated into English. The other one was written by B.D. Flory eons ago and has been sitting on my hard drive ever since. The B.D. Flory one did not scratch the itch I wanted it to scratch. So we'll get the Explorer's Edition version of the first one out first, and then I'll figure out. The Polish one, I haven't read it yet, I'm told is wonderful, but will require a lot of rewriting, right? Anytime we get something in from another language, it's quite a bit of work. So definitely want to.
That actually reminded me, there was a post about a sci-fi setting from Peter in the forum.
Nemesis.
Yes. Is that going to be a peg release?
I have a manuscript for it on my hard drive at home. I need to read it and see. I am told it's essentially Cthulhu in space.
That's the way his poster
fits. Okay, great. So so to me, that is a plus and a minus, right? It's a plus in the sense that I want to play Cthulhu in space. That sounds pretty cool. On the downside, it's a little too generic. So I need to see, you know, is it well done, for example. The art's certainly gorgeous. Some of it is in Savage Worlds Deluxe, as a matter of fact.
Yep, that was what thing came up.
Yeah, that artist is fantastic. He did all the two-page spreads, too. Bob?
Details on Red Boar.
Oh, okay. So that one is one that Piotr, again, actually did a quick layout for me. And as soon as I get back, that's actually the next thing after 50 Fathoms that I'm supposed to take a look at, kick back to him to get art ordered for. So I would imagine we'll have it here next week. And I haven't read it in many, many years, so honestly my brain doesn't work beyond about 6 months. But my recollection when Wiggy wrote it, which must have been 4 or 5 years ago, was that you actually play through many generations of a family in Rome. So it's a very cool and different kind of concept.
Cool.
Yeah. Nathaniel?
I saw on in the Savage World Deluxe book, there's a description about the different names you have. And one was Rippers. I saw there's a new logo. Could there be more
all yours
about Rippers?
Rippers is also in the process queue right now. It's being turned into the Explorer's Edition, and it's going to be much like 50 Fathoms. The companion material from the original Rippers companion has been rolled into that, and we're going to be doing some updating to the core mechanics, like the way reason and madness is handled and the way status is handled will probably come more in line with some other newer systems that we've had that have been out. Some that are award-winning. So you can expect similar status rules for Rippers as we have in the award-winning Space 1889.
I think it's those status rules that really pushed it over the
edge. I think that's it.
I do want to tease out real quick that those of you who have been following along the Shinedark storyline and been wondering, yes, the books that come out next year will advance the storylines. You will discover more things going on. A lot of what the big world stuff that I've been hinting at for all this time will start to come out. And over the course of the following year, things will blow up in a really cool, interesting way. So I will finally deliver on the promise of all those conspiracies and weird little stories. I just, you know, wanted to make sure you guys knew that is actually going to happen.
And for anyone who happens to be a real Rippers junkie, since we were already working on the manuscript the last time we ordered Bennies, we went ahead and ordered the Rippers Bennies, which unexpectedly have arrived here at Gen Con. So they are pre-release items you can get today
if
you want.
You can get the Minis just because they're one of the first instances of something Pinnacle did showing up early.
Early.
Basically, they are a collector's item. Just for that.
It's absolutely true.
It is.
Should we keep them in the wrapper with it?
I think you should keep one in the wrapper as a collectible and buy one to play with.
Yeah.
That's definitely the way to go.
What else? Got about 2 minutes. Ken?
You support all the waste of fiction material in PDF format? Are you still going to be doing iBook and the Kindle formats as well?
Yep. Yeah, the way it works is I submit them to an aggregator, and then they kick them out to iPad or iStore, Kindle, Nook, and so it takes a while. The last two Deadlands Dime novels have been submitted now, so the first three should be up on all the stores. The first one is, the second two should be up any minute. And then the next three, which is the Werewolf trilogy from the Dime novels, those the art's all been done, and Simon's laid them out. So, yes. Fancy?
Quick question along those lines. Do you have any plans of taking like the rulebook PDFs you have so far and maybe Kindle version of them at some point?
I thought about it. But to tell you the truth, the way that graphics work in an EPUB, where it moves them all over the place and there's no trade dress in the background and stuff like that, is a big turnoff for me. You know, the presentation, I think, is a lot of our mojo. Sorry, Aaron. But, you know, then again, if somebody wants it that way, I would love to give it to them that way. So I would have to say that no at the moment, but if there was enough email about it, I'd probably do so.
Okay.
Okay, so if you have any other questions, just come up to us afterwards. I want to make sure the room is available for the next group. There is some stuff that probably doesn't matter so much to this crowd, but it's pretty cool. We now have Deadlands and or Savage Worlds in French, German, Portuguese, Polish, Russian, not Klingon. Get out of here. Quite a few languages. That's been really good. We have a couple of really cool licenses that we're trying to work out with some other people that, you know, might bring some of our properties out in larger formats. So, you know, we're always working on that stuff. But, you know, we've announced over the years, you know, we had 3 computer games and 2 movies, and we announced them. So I don't do that anymore because it just seems to jinx them. But, you know, we're always working on stuff. I had a guy email me. I've had this actually several times, but the most recent one was a guy. He emailed me and said, "You are so stupid. Why haven't you made a movie in an MMO yet, you morons?" Come on.
Why didn't I think of that?
I know, right. So, you know, I asked him for $20 million and never heard from him again. One other little thing that I love dice, right? We do dice tests from time to time. We're going to have these, we'll probably have these in stock at Studio 2 website probably in the next 2 months. These will be the new official Savage Worlds dice. And if you want to come up and take a look, the wild dice, that it's a black die with gold facing in here. We'll have the symbols, the icons of Savage Worlds on the front. So you can take a look if you care about that kind of stuff, because I do. And I think that's it. Anybody got any last minute anything?
Just thank you, Shane.
Thank you. Aww.
Thanks, guys. Do you have any other questions?
Been listening to the Gamers Haven podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll free 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
That's not canon.